Let us pray. Loving Father, we come together to praise you, to thank you for your goodness and love, to confess our failings and ask for your forgiveness. We praise you for all your blessings and mercy upon us. We praise you for your awesome power and your sovereignty over the creation you made. How can we look at the hills and mountains, the valleys and rivers, the seas and oceans, the birds and animals, and not be moved to worship you? How can we not adore you and give thanks daily when your grace and love surrounds each one of us? We are all your children, one family that has no divisions in your sight. How hurtful to you must be the barriers that humankind have created. Lord, we know that your love endures, even though so often we let you down, turning aside from the path you call us to follow. When we go through times of sadness and difficulty, how easily we can doubt your presence at our side. When we enjoy times of happiness, how often we forget to give you the glory. Lord, your Son Jesus Christ summed up the law in one simple word, love. Forgive that though we talk so often about love, we all too rarely practice it. Help us to look to you who showed us love in action, a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And help us to truly realize that unless we have that, all our words, our faith, and our religion counts for nothing. Amen. We share in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's sing again hymn number 437, When the Music Fades.
Music. have the reading, I'm just going to offer a prayer for the offering. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, bless the gifts we bring. We offer ourselves to be vessels of your love, compassion, and truth. Impart a spirit of generosity, compassion, and love to those entrusted to our care. May our words and actions reflect your grace and be a light in the darkness for others. We begin with our first reading from Isaiah chapter 9.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For us, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Amen.
This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. The first part of which is entitled, Jesus Begins to Preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And next he calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Amen.
Thank you. We sing our next hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me?
But call your name. Will you go? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. And bring our breath. Thine eye diffused the quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee.
If you're wondering why I've started my sermon by bursting into song this morning, well, first of all, why not? And second of all, it's simply because that's where I started. I'm sure many of you have heard of and probably experienced at some point blank page syndrome. I know what I want to talk about. I know what the message is going to be about, but I have no idea where to start. And I decided, as I was preparing the service, to listen to the hymns I'd picked for this morning. And it was during this one, as I was belting out first four in my bedroom, because I can't just listen to Anne, Can It Be? It's almost impossible, particularly, I've noticed even this morning when you get to the My Chains Fell Off bit that everybody knows, you can't help but join in. And I thought, as I sung those words, this is what I want to pick, this is why I picked this hymn. It underpins, reiterates the theme for this morning, being in darkness, seeing the light, and following Christ. Those first two lines, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. How beautiful a way to say what is a simple truth, that to be without God is to be imprisoned, bound, and in darkness. Simple but powerful. It's powerful, I think, because we have all experienced being in the dark in a literal sense. We know what it is not to be able to see in the dark, and the fear and uncertainty that can create. Even as children, so many of us are afraid of the dark because of the unknown. It's because of those feelings that physically being in darkness creates that we so often describe bad times of our lives as dark. Times of sorrow, heartbreak, despair, when we feel without hope. For me personally, that's when I was suffering from depression. I describe that as a dark time in my life. But just as the image of being without God is to be in darkness, is so powerful, so is the reverse. That to be with God is to be in the light. Light is the evidence of God at work, threaded throughout our scripture. It's there in the beginning when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the entire spectrum of light revealed in the rainbow, the sign of God's covenant. In the burning bush, the pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness, in Jesus himself, who is described as the light of the world. In our readings this morning, Matthew quoted from the prophet Isaiah, where he told of Christ coming. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The passage not only tells that people will see the light, but they will recognize its source. Verses 3 and 4. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. The people don't just see the light. They recognize God is acting on their behalf. They have had what we would call an epiphany. Let's take a moment, having heard about their moment of epiphany, and think about our own. Has there been a moment where you accepted, acknowledged, and understood the truth that in the coming of Christ, God worked and is still working on our behalf? That through his life, death, and resurrection, we are saved, reconciled to God. What was it that caused you to accept that truth? What moved you from just seeing to acknowledgement? What moves you to come to church on a morning, Sunday morning, and seek God? I would describe my own journey like this. For most of my life, I had been shown the light, but it was a long time before I saw it. I had grown up going to church. As the daughter of a Methodist minister, you can imagine that every Sunday I was in church. And that often means that it's assumed in a way that I've always committed my life to Christ as a result of that. But it's not true. I knew who Jesus was. Jesus had been introduced to me throughout my entire life. I had been shown the light. But when it came to be my decision, where sometime around my teenage years, I stopped going to church. I had no personal relationship with God. I had been told that Jesus was my Savior, but I had not acknowledged or accepted him as such. I had not really seen the light. And it wasn't until my lowest point, at the darkest time in my life, when I was battling depression, that I did see the light, that I did come to know God was at work in my life. In all honesty, I can't say that I would ever have seen the light were it not for the darkness I experienced. I've talked about that time in my life before. I'd had to leave university as a result of the depression and completely lost and not knowing what to do next. I went to my dad and asked him to pray with me, something I had not done for a good number of years, really. Because actually, the further I moved away from God and that life, the darker my life became. Not that I could see that at the time. So I went to my dad and I asked him to pray with me, and I said, and he asked for God to give me a new direction. And then within weeks of that, in fact, it might have been just a week, I felt the call to preach. It was in that answered prayer for a new direction that everything clicked for me. God was absolutely, completely, and now undeniably at work in my life. Always had been and always would be. Jesus had been born into the world, lived as one of us, and died for our sins. And it was amazing and marvelous and wonderful. And literally those words of that hymn, my chains fell off, my heart was free. And then God called me to rise and follow with action, to preach. That was the important thing for me, that I wasn't just filled with this incredible feeling of joy, like this weight had been lifted from me, but I was called to do something with it. And I believe we all are in some way. Maybe not quite as obvious or as big as undertaking as it was for me. But in some way, we must answer his call just as the disciples did. The story of Jesus calling the fishermen is a well-known one. It is one of the ones I will have heard as a child. But as I said, not really understand the gravity of it. First of all, in what Jesus is asking simply in the act of following him. For them to leave their families and livelihoods behind, which at the time, deserting your family, big no-no. It would have been seen by many as a dishonorable thing to do. And then not only that, Jesus doesn't just say, follow me. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's not follow me and be props. It's follow me and I'll put you to work. I'm calling you to follow me and to work to inspire others to do the same. What's even more astounding is the response. Not just that they do so, but they do so immediately and without question, without reservation, in both instances, in both stories. In the case of Peter and Andrew, at once they left their nets and followed him. No, well, we can't just drop everything right now. We need to sort some things out first. And in the case of James and John, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. It's always created quite an image, that second one, since kind of rereading it from a preaching perspective. Because you sort of have this image of them sat in the boat preparing their nets with their father. And in my head, Jesus is stood on the shore calling out to James and John in the boat. And them getting out of the boat, swimming to shore, and just poor Zebedee just sat in the boat going, what's just happened? What's going on? That is what we are called to act for God and to do it now. Not when we'd feel comfortable, not when it's convenient, not in our own time, but now. To have an epiphany means, or to see the light, is to come to a sudden realization. So if that's the case, shouldn't our response, our movement into action, be just as sudden? Or as in the case of the first disciples, at least as soon as the opportunity is offered. Admittedly, I didn't. It was a good few weeks before I talked to anyone about being called to preach. Despite being surrounded by people I could talk to. Despite that wonderful realization, I was still holding back, not quite willing to repent. In Jesus' first words, as he begins to preach, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. To repent is to turn away. We're familiar with the idea of turning from sin towards God. But it's not just that. It's to have a shift in perspective, to change the way we view the world, ourselves, and God, to see the world through God's eyes. And having had that shift, to then leave our old selves behind, turn our lives over to Christ, and answer his call. His call simply being to follow him, and in action through the way we live our lives, in what we say, and more importantly, what we do, inspire others to do the same. Amen. We're going to listen to a short piece of music now to allow time to reflect.
As we move into our prayers of intercession, let's sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need first to thank you for your great love for us, made known in your Son Jesus Christ, the love that accepts us as we are, whatever our failings, the love that freely forgives, the love that watches over us day by day, the love that gives us the strength to overcome all difficulties, the love that provides us with the power to show love to all others. God of love, accept our thanksgiving and give us grace to love you more for Jesus' sake. We pray for our church and its family. We pray your blessing on all who share with us in this church's life, that we all may grow in the knowledge of your love. We pray that as congregations, we may always be outward looking so that we are conscious of the needs of others. Help us as members of the whole body of Christ to respond to them by our understanding, by our support, and by the love we show them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your church throughout the world. Where there is persecution, we pray that it may share in its different ways to the full in the work of your Son, revealing you to all and reconciling them to you and to one another. We pray that Christians may learn to love one another and their neighbours as you love us, and that working together, they may bring peace to all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those troubled parts of the world where people are suffering as a result of terrorism, of fighting, of hunger, of disease, of the loss of their homes. We pray that your spirit may so move in the hearts of people that the barriers of fear, race, suspicion, and hatred, which separate so many, may crumble and disappear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray now for families and people in need. For those struggling with the cost of living. For parents giving up meals to feed their children. We give thanks for those doing their best to support with food banks. We pray for families who face illness or disablement and feel they cannot cope. For the unemployed who feel hopeless and unwanted. For those struggling with addiction, we lift them up to you, Lord, for your healing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for our own families and those we know. Bless each and every one of us, and may they all know your presence and feel your guiding hand in their lives. Help us to build with you the kind of family which shows care and consideration. We pray for those in need within our families and others known to us, for those who are ill, whether in their homes or in hospital. We name them in our hearts and raise them to you, Lord. We pray for those who mourn because of death of loved ones, and those who still miss the companionship and care of those dear to them. O God of love, we ask you to give us love, love in our thinking, love in our speaking, and love in our doing, that we may be worthy to dwell with you, who are eternal love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. It will be no surprise to you that we are ending this morning with And Can It Be? In its entirety.
Should gain.
Let's share the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.